You're listening to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience, a podcast dedicated to helping executives train their sales and marketing teams to optimize growth. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Let's accelerate your growth in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone, to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience. I'm Carlos Noche, and I'm joined by my amazingly talented podcast partner, Lisa Schneer. How you doing today, Lisa?
Doing great, Carlos. Headed right into the holidays, folks.
All right, today we're talking about the evolution of RevOps. Over the past several years, where is RevOps heading, and the lessons learned from building a global RevOps community?
And he should know, we've got Matthew Vollm, CEO and co-founder at RevOps Co-op, a community of 11,000 plus RevOps pros from across the globe. And he's a big fan of all things technology and startups. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time today and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa and Carlos.
All right, Matt, to get us started and warm up our audience, here's how we would like to start. What's something that you're passionate about that those that only know you through work might be surprised to know about you?
I'll give you two things. One, you might be able to tell based on my background, but I have what I describe as a crap load of indoor plants all around my house. I think when I counted, there's almost 40 around my home. There's just 13 of them are back there. So, you know, I like pumping as much oxygen as I can into this particular room and then every other room in the house. So that's one thing. And then I'll say the other thing that keeps me excited or that I'm passionate about outside of work that's not the obvious, like, you know, my wife and kids and family, is I am very into CrossFit and kind of exercising. So that's the stuff that if I'm not in my office with all of my indoor plants, I'm typically at the gym trying to stay in shape.
That was going to be my next question, Matt, was do you have the home setup or do you go to the gym?
So naturally, because the obsession has grown, I now have both. We have a little area in our garage that has plenty of gym equipment. And then fortunately, the actual gym near our house is only like a 5-minute drive and work from home. So it's very convenient to hop over there in between meetings and stuff.
Awesome. Well, it's a good passion to have, right? It's a healthy passion. So is your plant passion. I wish I had a plant passion. Other than succulents, nothing lives in this house. So I've got the black thumb of death. But Matt, apart from your passions, I'm really curious to learn a lot more about your background, what led you to building this community and all the success that you're experiencing today. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, naturally, the typical startup fashion, the place where we ended, or I should say the place where we are today, is certainly not the place that I thought we would be when we first started. So we actually started our company about 3.5 years ago, and originally we were building RevOps software. So the company, the product we were building was called FunnelIQ. We were building end-to-end go-to-market analytics products. And part of what we wanted to do, our idea was, hey, we're going to be selling this product into revenue operations. Let's be a thought leader in the space. Let's start to build relationships with our prospects. And so just a couple of months after we started the company, before we even had a product, we started the community, RevOps Co-op. And we kind of separately branded it because we didn't want it to be a community about our product or our solution. We wanted it to be a community about the function and the role. And so, you know, fast forward in typical startup fashion, we launched our FunnelIQ product. We had it in market. We were generating revenue, had some customers, but nothing that, you know, where we had product market fit. And so about 1.5 years ago, we sunsetted that product and have just been focusing on the community ever since, because that was working out and going well. Company started, again, typical startup fashion, with one idea, let's build RevOps software. And fast forward 3.5 years later, we're now in a spot where we're, you know, kind of this like RevOps media company, if you will, just delivering a whole bunch of programming to folks in revenue operations.
Amazing. Sounds like quite the journey.
Plenty of ups and downs, and the journey has definitely been the reward, but it's been a lot of fun.
Part of being successful is being willing to adapt.
Yep, willing to adapt. And I think as an entrepreneur, startup person, I think you're kind of trained to accept or maybe expect failure in a lot of the things that you do, in terms of like failure defined as like, you know, things not working out, but then you learn from those things and you try something new and you basically just keep doing that day in and day out. And that is really what it's like being a startup founder, right? And that's why it's incredibly hard and, you know, not the thing for everybody. So yeah, I think of all the, like you said, ups and downs, the pain and suffering, right? Of like, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's try this other thing. And like, well, that kind of worked. Let's try this thing now. And that is a lot of what the day-to-day is like when you, you know, go out there and start companies.
All right, so let's get to our core topic of the day. And I like to go take a step back. So on LinkedIn, and I've heard other places as well, they have head of revenue operations as the hottest job in 2023. To help with communication, what do you mean by RevOps? How would you define it? Because let's start there, and then we'll work our way around it.
The quick short definition I use is RevOps is essentially the glue that holds the go-to-market function together. And, you know, you can look at that as when I talk about go-to-market, marketing, sales, post-sales, customer success, or customer support. And you are the operations team or person that is supporting your revenue function. And typically that means the people, the process, and the technology involved in generating revenue from start to finish, right? So, you know, marketing in terms of who are you going after? Are you going after the right people? How do you make sure that your marketing team is equipped to produce the results that they need to? What does the marketing to sales handoff kind of look like? How do you make sure that the interest that you're raising at the marketing level, the people that raise their hands, are the ones who are getting filtered to the right people on your sales team at the right time in a very low friction sort of way? How is your sales team obviously generating new business, prospecting, going out and selling? Are they trained? Do they know how to do things correctly within the systems, the tools that you've given them? And then how do they hand things off to, say, your customer success or your customer support team so those new customers that you generate can be implemented and have a really good positive experience with you and can have success with your product? But then, again, part of what a lot of people forget about is, like, after the sale happens and they're handed off to a customer success is, like, hey, got to keep your customers around, right? So also, how do you retain your customers? How do you expand your relationships and the revenue you're generating with your existing customer base? How does your marketing team market new features, new products, existing features to your customers, right, to help expand revenue? So that's what I mean when I talk about people, process, and technology. It's the tools, it's the way you go to market, it's how you execute, it's how all those things are tied together. That is, I'll say, what the role of revenue operations should be, not what it always is, depending on the company that you go to, but that is what it should be.
So obviously, I mean, these are all things that a company should have been doing originally anyway. Is the emphasis on RevOps today? I mean, who was doing this function before, would you say?
The responsibility has always existed within every company. I think in a pre-RevOps world, right, like 5, 10, 15 years ago, we kind of had these siloed operations departments, right? Meaning you had your marketing team, you had your marketing operations people who supported them, and you had your sales team, and you had your sales operations people who supported them. And post-sales, honestly, typically they never got any operations support. They were just left to, like, fend for themselves, which, again, when you think about the fact that 80 to 90% of revenue that you're going to have next quarter, next period, is based on customers you have right now, is kind of crazy. But so it existed in these kind of silos. And then, you know, again, part of what I talked about before, right, was, well, what does a handoff from marketing to sales kind of look like? And what you wind up, you know, it's a very critical part, right, of how leads and prospects flow through your funnel. In a pre-RevOps world, whose job is that? It's like, well, it's not marketing ops, right? Like, marketing is like, well, here's your thing, sales. And sales is like, well, it's not my job, right? Like, I get the things, right? And then I do stuff with them. And so questions like that and kind of issues, challenges like that started to push people towards a more centralized kind of function. And, you know, if you think about it, it makes complete sense, right? Typically, revenue is one of those things that, again, to state the obvious, every company that exists has revenue. And it's typically the single most important metric on any sort of financial statement. And not having a dedicated operations team to support that single most important metric on your financials is, again, you know, you're like, well, yeah, obviously we should have that. We want to have a frictionless, seamless, efficient experience from start to finish. And when you're able to have a team of people dedicated to that job, right, who's focused on that, you make sure that things like the handoff from marketing to sales or the handoff from sales to success, and then what that end-to-end kind of engine looks like, you make sure that they don't get lost.
Okay, so I got like two structural questions for you. One is, ideally, who should the head of RevOps report to?
This will depend on org structure. I think one strong case to be made, depending on your organization, for your head of RevOps to be part of the executive team, sitting right next to the head of sales, the head of marketing, head of operations, right? Whoever that might be. And in that case, you're reporting up, right, generally to the CEO or the president of the company. In other models, I think if you do have a CRO, chief revenue officer, again, this kind of goes to a lot of times CROs are simply like VPs of sales rebranded, in which case you're not really a CRO, because if you still have like a CMO and like a CCO or like a head of customer success, then it's like, well, you're responsible for the sales team, right? And as you know, revenue is not just driven by new business that you have. But if you do have a CRO who is truly responsible for marketing, sales, and post sales, then having a head of revenue operations report up to the CRO makes sense. Other cases, you could have them report up to the COO or, you know, kind of head of business operations. Things that I would, I'll say, like recommend against. If you have a RevOps person and they're reporting to, say, the head of marketing or the CMO, that's really just a marketing operations person, because what do you think will get ultimately prioritized when things need to be done, right? It's going to be marketing ops sort of work. Same thing if they report up to the head of sales. Typically, it's going to be just a sales operations person. So the main thing when you're looking at where RevOps should report up to is have them held accountable to someone who is going to truly be responsible for revenue and revenue growth of the business, right? So typically that would be the CEO, a COO, a CRO. That's typically not just the head of marketing or the head of sales or the head of success, for example.
And that was my second question, was the way you describe the role is really what a CRO should be.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think that's really like, that's why, you know, folks in RevOps who truly are responsible for the end-to-end, I think are great candidates for a CRO role in terms of what a CRO should be, right? If you just want your CRO to be responsible for your sales team and kind of new business and logos, then RevOps person, probably not the best fit for that type of role. But if you do want someone who is going to be looking at, again, the end-to-end kind of revenue engine from marketing to sales to post-sales, then yeah, RevOps folks, I think, are great candidates for a CRO type of role.
So you mentioned the centralizing the RevOps function is kind of like what led to it becoming a function, because the attribution would between marketing and sales and what came from where and who owns what, you know, so definitely understand that. I'm curious now, with especially your exposure to such a large community of RevOps folks, what technologies really led to being able to enable this role to see a true end-to-end analysis? And then also, like, where do you see it going?
Yeah. So on the technology side, I would say there's been a lot of improvement from existing products in the space. For example, HubSpot is one of them. They have the operations hub, they have a prospecting tool, they have a forecasting tool. They have tons of capabilities now within their platform to truly go from marketing and marketing automation and all the marketing ops stuff to sales ops and post sales with customer success and like Service Hub and all that stuff. So products like that, SalesLoft is another one that came from, you know, really being this like traditional sales engagement platform meant for SDRs and people who wanted to go out and prospect, to now really being this complete, like truly a revenue workflow platform that's able to ingest data points and look at how those produce signals on next best actions that your marketing or sales or post-sales team should take. And then the other thing, as I mentioned, the way we got started with Funnel IQ, and we weren't able to kind of put this kind of go-to-market analytics product together. But since then, there have been tons of other companies in that sort of space that are looking to just make it easy to deliver those insights kind of off the shelf. And then I'll say the last thing that's been interesting too, especially in the last year, I think that we've seen is, I mentioned how we got started about 3.5 years ago. The market was obviously like a very different place over the first like 2 years of that journey, right? You know, money was essentially free. Lots of different companies were getting funded. You were able to have a successful technology company by having a very, very narrow point solution, right? That like solved a very specific problem, but did it very well. Now, those are the types of products that people are essentially looking to eliminate from their technology stack, because there's added cost, there's added friction with now having to switch to another tab or another tool, and they're maybe able to get 75 to 80% of that functionality from some existing product they already have, right? Like a HubSpot or a SalesLoft or something else. And so now, you know, you're seeing a bunch of consolidation in the market as well. Clary has bought like Groove, and ZoomInfo has bought, you know, a bunch of companies. And yeah, there's all these other kind of point solutions that are getting gobbled up. So that's generally what we're seeing on the technology side or within the go-to-market technology side that lots of folks in our community are talking about.
You mentioned lots of great tools there. I guess like for the audience listening, if they're just getting started with a function, do you have like a dream setup? Like if you were going to go in and set up something to perfectly analyze, and it could be a preference that you personally have, but what would that like dream suite of technology look like?
Depends on certainly like the, you know, the type of company and stage and stuff that you're coming into. But the trap, especially with folks in RevOps, they can fall into is always wanting, we're always thinking that, you know, like some piece of technology or software is the way to solve every single problem. So actually like the first thing I would tell anyone coming into like a new role or even like coming across a new problem or taking a close look at a new problem for the first time is like figure out how you can manually solve that problem, like with people and spreadsheets first. And then after you're able to figure out what that solution looks like when, you know, it's up to you to click a couple of buttons or it's up to you to put a spreadsheet together, then look at how you can solve that with software. And obviously first look at the existing tools and technology that you have within your tech stack and then see how much you can solve there and then go outward to look at other potential solutions. If you're a new company or you're just getting started with your RevOps function, like, you know, starting always with your CRM is like the first place to go. If you're a startup, HubSpot is just a great tool. You can do so much with the platform. There's discounts available, like 90% discounts available for startup companies. And it's come such a long way, especially over the last couple of years. And I'll be the first to admit, like I used to be, like when we first started our company, like I was so like anti HubSpot because I had this thing in my head of like, oh, this is just a tool that people use to get started and you eventually like outgrow it and can't do these things. And then you got to move to like Salesforce. And then it's like that thing that kind of just keeps growing on you because like it's always there. You're using it every day. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, look, I can do that one thing that I didn't think I could do. And you're like, oh, wow, I can do that other thing. And then all of a sudden, all these other ideas start popping into your head of all these other things that you can do. And then you start doing them. You're like, actually, this tool is pretty great. And you can do a lot with it. And so HubSpot, Salesforce, again, whatever CRM you're using, like that's always the starting point. And then, yeah, like don't take for granted things that you maybe hear or those preconceived notions you have in your head of where the limitations are. Actually go and test them, figure them out yourself, and then go and find, you know, whatever that next tool is. Because the truth is, a lot of times you can solve your problems with an existing solution that you've already got. So that would be my recommendation for folks.
So let's talk about technology a little bit. The clients I work with today, big and small, I look at their tech stack and it looks like a NASCAR commercial. These companies have bought all sorts of crap. And the reality is there's no way their sales reps can be proficient at three of them, much less 13 of them. So I love your opinion, Matt. I mean, when RevOps looks at this, are they just adding another tool to the pile? Or should they go in and really reassess, hey, what are we really using and what value are we getting out of it? Because I feel like they're just wasting money on some of the tools today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like, you know, because again, the things that people don't necessarily think about when they purchase a new tool, right? Is the one thing you always have in mind is like the pain of the problem that you're trying to solve. And you're like, hey, I'll buy this thing and that'll solve my problem. But then what you don't realize is that you're also in the process, you're creating some other challenges in the process. Like one, that tool needs to be implemented. Like it's not magically just going to show up and work. So one, it's got to be implemented. Two, it's also going to be up to humans using it, right? So now like they're not using it today. Now they're going to use it to solve this problem. But as we all know, like change and getting people to change behavior, even if it's something that should be obvious, is actually hard to do, right? So now there's training, there's enablement. And now also think about like any new tool that you get, it's producing data, right? And like, let's say that it's a tool related to like email activity or calling. Well, now those are like additional activities, for example, that tool is going to be generating. And if you're integrating with like your CRM, now it's sending that data into your CRM. Well, are you duplicating those data points, right? Like, and now when someone goes to like pull a report, do they use like activity data from those fields that are from that particular tool or system, or should they use them there? And like 100% of the time, guarantee you they're not going to match. So now you start to create more questions and complexity, right? And so there's all those things that start to pile up, which obviously like you didn't think about maybe when you were going out and trying to solve the problem that you wanted to solve with the tool. So yeah, that's why, again, like looking inward, right, at like the existing tools and technology that you have as a starting point is just always typically a good place to start, because chances are a lot of them will have, you know, something that can solve those problems for you. Because yeah, like you said, otherwise you wind up with this like technology stack of 13 different tools and products, like you said, Carlos, and like some of them are used, some of them are not. Then your team ends up having 12 different tabs open on any given day, and some of them are being used, some of them are not. Person to person is different, and that's just not a spot you want to be in.
And Matt, it leads us to the next problem, which is having a consistent process. So I don't want to lose it. So one insight for the audience is really reassess your tech stack. Make sure you're using the right technology for the right functions across the board. And what I'm seeing 9 times out of 10, I'm not saying we're getting rid of CRM, by the way. I'm saying we're getting rid of that 13th, 14th tool that hardly anybody on your team's actually using it. And it's causing more confusion than help. So let's move to process. So Matt, you think about running an organization, you think about the process between marketing, sales, services, and then, you know, it's really a circle, right? Because we're trying to feed that same information across the board. What role have you been seeing revenue ops play on implementing, selecting the right processes across the team?
Again, this is one of the benefits of having a RevOps team that goes across, you know, the entire function from marketing to sales to post-sales is, you know, I feel like now there's, especially with the things the market has been doing over the last year, is there's been this shift from previously a lot of the focus of RevOps has been on the marketing to sales connection and things that are happening. But now with so much of the focus being on current customers, revenue retention, NDR, NRR, and expansion revenue, people are actually starting to look at, oh, well, what are we doing to retain our customers? And what are we doing to expand our relationships and the revenue we're generating with them? And that's one of those areas where RevOps is, again, like prime to take, say, all of the learnings and the things they know work when it comes to new business, right? Like, you know, how do we raise maybe awareness and, you know, drive prospects to our sales team who then follow these steps and put prospects through these stages in order to close these deals. Well, you can apply that same framework and thinking to the process that you use to generate expansion revenue, right? How does your customer success team evaluate your customers for opportunities where either there's chances to sell more users, more seats of a particular product, maybe there's a need or a problem they can uncover that product A that you have solves for, right? So you could sell them an additional product or feature. Even just things like moving them from monthly or quarterly contracts up to annual contracts, right? Like how can your customer success team identify people that have those opportunities? And then how should they hand them off to sales, or how should they close them themselves? What are the stages that they should go through? And then obviously, like, how do you manage that within your CRM or the tools, the technology that you have, so that on any given day, on any given week, you can evaluate like, hey, how much expansion pipeline have we generated over the last quarter? And what's our win rate on those opportunities that we evaluate? And then you can start to have some predictability around that part of your revenue process, right? But it all starts with someone having line of sight there and knowing the things that work in other aspects of your business, where again, if you just have your siloed marketing ops, sales ops, and like post-sales ops, like no one is typically going to be able to identify those things. And I think that's really where the power of RevOps comes into play.
That makes a lot of sense. The clarity, the visibility. I think back to my own experiences being in startups and the fact that I had to wear a lot of hats. Like I was often operations and enablement and leading the SDR team and. That was back in the older thinking ways. Like RevOps was just beginning to become a thing. And it just makes so much sense to look at it holistically rather than in the silos. But that begs the question though, Matt, like where does sales enablement fit in here as far as, and not just sales enablement, I guess you could call it enablement just in general. Where does that fit in with the RevOps role as well?
I think you can expand and just call it, and I've seen this too recently, is like revenue enablement. And actually, like, we see that as very much a part of the RevOps function because, you know, enablement is really the folks who are the responsibility of making sure that people are trained on the process and technology that you're using, right? They know what those best practices are and that they deploy them to the team and that those things are done consistently, right? And so whether that's part of what the RevOps person does or you have a dedicated resource to enablement, it is very much a part of what falls in revenue operations for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Explain the story. You know, you started with a software platform and you pivoted. Now you've built this community. What were some of the lessons learned from the community, from building this and like having an active, engaged RevOps and community? What's been your secret sauce?
I think the thing that, you know, I don't know, we, again, lucked out on is, you know, definitely like right time, right place for sure. But if you think about the RevOps role and kind of function, it was, you know, set up for, you know, having a successful community kind of from the very beginning because RevOps started to become this thing, right? And no one goes to school and gets like a degree in revenue operations, right? So there's no like, no formal training that you go through. You're essentially learning on the job. It's also a new role or a new function. So a lot of people are kind of, you know, in this thing for the first time, meaning not a lot of folks have been there, done that. And then the last thing is typically folks are a RevOps team of one or a small RevOps team, meaning, you know, they don't have other people within their company that they can necessarily go to ask questions and like figure stuff out. And so all of that put together makes for a community like ours being in the right place to help folks because, you know, we've got like 11,000 plus people all in the same spot where you can ask questions, you can get answers, you can, you know, meet up with people, you can grow your local connections. We produce all this content all centered around revenue operations for folks. And so all of that is kind of what led to us just being able to continue to grow the community. And, you know, last thing I'll mention is, and again, like, you know, sounds obvious, but just like listening to what the people wanted and where do they want more resources? What are the topics that they care about? And then doing those things is kind of the way that, you know, we found some initial success. And yeah, we still do that stuff on a regular basis. We're going through our annual like state of the community survey right now where we're collecting feedback on things that people liked, what they didn't like, so we can kind of make some improvements and add some new programs and stuff for next year. So that's kind of been our approach from the beginning.
So Matt, I'm curious, you said it, right? Nobody goes to school for RevOps, but most of the time when I look at sales ops or RevOps, they really come from more of a financial analyst background. So for example, I ran sales and services and thank God I had a ops person on my services side. So I could look at all my projects, utilization rates, billable rate per person, margin trends, and I can actually, she would actually track them for me. So if I saw a project that I expected X margin on and it was heading for Y, we literally would color code them red, yellow, green. And then I'd go back to my sales team to go, hey, we got to course correct before it's too late. But they usually came from more of a financial analyst. So as you look at your community and then you get background, what are most of the backgrounds that you're seeing in RevOps? Is it from a financial analyst perspective? Is it more from a technology perspective? What do you mostly see out there?
There's two things that have been interesting. One is aligned with what you mentioned. So on the finance side, you know, a lot of people that have the analytical type of background and are able to connect that to the, like, call it the business aspect of things are typically a good fit. Actually, that's the background that I have outside of like starting companies is like I was finance and accounting major. I used to be a CPA. I did corporate finance, management consulting, and then like, you know, wound up to where I am now. So more strong on like the analytical and the business side of things and less strong or weak on like the tooling and like the systems side of things. So that's definitely one path. The other path that we see often is actually someone coming from a marketing, sales, or like customer success background, but they were maybe like the very process and systems oriented SDR on your team, or they were your demand generation manager that was like super excited to like dive into Marketo or HubSpot and like figure out like, you know, how to streamline things and like how to produce clean data and like all of that stuff. And then they, you know, naturally like someone recognized that at their company and they kind of moved into like their first kind of RevOps role that way. So that's the other commonality, but just like the common paths into RevOps that we see are like someone who held a functional specific role that was very ops process systems oriented. And then, yeah, someone who was maybe on the finance or the analytics side and coming from that background.
Makes a lot of sense because those are, or like coming from statistics or somewhere like that, where it's like, okay, I actually really enjoy delving into data and understanding what story it's telling me. So a couple of things, because keeping an eye on the time here, but I want to make sure we get to this. You're throwing an event in San Diego in May 2024, correct? Who's the event for? What's going to happen there? What can listeners expect if they sign up?
So yes, we are throwing kind of our first annual conference, which will be May 28th through May 30th at the Hard Rock Hotel in downtown San Diego. The conference is called RevOps AF, and so it's meant to celebrate everyone out there who is kind of RevOps AF, because again, we haven't been around for the last couple of years. RevOps, you know, folks who work in RevOps are a special type of person. You know, it's definitely, you know, I think Carlos mentioned it being one of the, you know, the hottest job titles, but it's certainly more than just a job title, right? It is a movement. It's kind of part of who you are, at least professionally. And we want to celebrate that. And we want to help those people continue to grow in their career, you know, continue to level up professionally. So we're putting together a kind of 2 to 3 days of content, putting together some like offsite networking activities. We'll have some parties in there as well. So, you know, a mix of fun, a mix of learning, and then also just a way for everybody to get together and meet up in person, right? And be able to probably interact and engage with folks who maybe they've previously only met on the internet. And so, yeah, that's our plans for the conference. And RevOpsAF.com is the website. Speaker submissions, tickets, all that stuff is available there.
Amazing. And is there a virtual option for folks who couldn't attend in person?
We are probably going to do a virtual option in the weeks after the live event. That's what I'm thinking is there.
And then, so the really basic question, how do you join the community? Where do we go? What do we do?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different membership options available for the community. One of them is free, and then the other is a premium membership. You can learn more at our website, which is revopscoop.com. There's also a bunch of ungated content there. We got a blog. We've got like all of the digital events that we've ever held, recordings from those, write-ups from those. We've got the series called RevOps Demos That Don't Suck, where we take RevOps product demos and put them up on our website. So folks that might be looking at tools or technology in the space, they can get a sense of what the products do before they actually kind of go through the process on their own. So lots of resources available to anyone who wants to go to the website. And then obviously, if you join, you can get into our Slack group, you'll get on our newsletter distribution list, you can attend our digital events, things like that.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Last question of the day, we call it Acceleration Insights. What might be that one piece of advice, be it business or personal, that you would share with the audience that would help them be as successful as you have been?
I don't know how successful I've been, Carlos, but I appreciate that. I would say actually the one, and this applies to like whether you're in RevOps or anything, the one thing I wish I would have maybe told myself sooner was, you know, give yourself the permission to change your mind on things, whether that's the job you have, the company you work at, even like the thing that you thought you really wanted to do that, you know, maybe you start doing it, you're like, actually, like that's not that fun at all. Don't feel like you have to be stuck in a place just because it's what you thought you wanted. You know, I've been there a lot, right? My first job out of college was as a CPA. Man, that sucked. Like that was so bad. You know, but when I got there, I was like, well, I thought I really wanted to do this. And like, if I don't want to do it, am I somehow like admitting that, I don't know, is that like a failure? It's like, no, like, so give yourself the permission to change your mind, you know, even if it's like personal hobbies or things, right? Like, you know, try something and it's only a failure if you don't learn from it. So that's the one thing that I would mention. And again, I brought up the professional example of, you know, me, I wouldn't say despising, but like thinking like HubSpot was going to be this tool that I just needed to get off as quickly as possible. Turns out like I'm a big HubSpot fan now. Again, personally, professionally, give yourself the permission to change your mind. Just try to learn from every situation you put yourself in. And yeah, the journey is a reward, right? Like focus on going through life personally and professionally with people that you want to surround yourself with and that make it fun. Because at the end of the day, that's the stuff that people will remember. Those are the things I'll leave you with, I guess.
Perfect. Great advice. Great advice. You mentioned the websites for both the co-op and the event. But if one of our listeners was interested in getting connected directly with you, Matt, what's your preferred method of connection? Is it LinkedIn? Is it email?
Yeah, typically LinkedIn or email. So you can find me on LinkedIn, just search Matthew Vollm or RevOps Co-op and you'll find me there. And then if you ever want to drop me a line and talk about anything, I will typically respond over email, and email address is matt@revopscoop.com.
Amazing, Matt. Well, cannot thank you enough for taking the time today. We really recognize how valuable it is, and it was great having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Carlos.
All right, everyone, that does it for this episode. Please check us out at www.b2brevexec.com. Share this episode with your family, your friends, your coworkers. And if you like what you hear, you can both subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And if you really like what you hear and you feel like doing us a little favor, you can throw us a 5-star review on iTunes. Until next time, I am Lisa Schneer, and I'm with my always charming podcast partner in crime, Carlos Noche, and we wish you nothing but the greatest success.
You've been listening to the B2B Revenue Executive Experience. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.